League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And a lot of Texans to talk about. We had Dalton Schultz the other day. We got Kyamie Fairbairn yesterday. So, I mean, Kyamie was a bit, that was a good move.
It's not unexpected, but you know, somebody could have come after him. At one point, it looked like it was a bad deal by Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, 4 years, 16.
But he had one bad year. Yeah. I mean, that year it was like, oh my god. But really, ever since then, he's been fine. I mean, as long as he's been healthy. There was a game he obviously wasn't healthy that probably cost you the game. Probably cost you the game because you had a different kicker in who hit the crossbar against Jacksonville, or that would have been a dub, but
yeah.
Well, may have been. I think that would have
no,
been.
No, we know what life is like without him, and we don't want that.
It's not good. No, no. Kyamie Fairbairn's one of the better kickers in the league, and he'll be a 10-year Texan.
And kicking has become, now, it went to long snapper as the best job in the NFL. Clipboard holder is a great job, but you might have to go in and actually play.
Long snapper is a good one as long as you're
there's
good
nobody
at what
can,
you
do. There's nobody can hit him now.
No, you can't make a ton long snapper, but you make a very comfortable living.
Well, 1.3?
Yeah, you make a very 1.6, I think.
Is 1.6 now?
1.5. It's up to 1.5.
But now that kickoffs are basically kickers don't even have to run down the field and get hit anymore.
Yeah, but that's a lot of pressure being a kicker.
It's a lot of pressure, but it's a great job.
Yeah, but they get fired. If they miss two or three,
they also get $5 million a year.
Well, only if they're really good. Kyamie's the best.
Right. Well,
Best kicker in the league is a good job.
Not the best. He's not the best in the league.
Well, he's not the best, but being in the top eight.
Yeah,
that's a good job.
That's what I want.
As long as you make.
That's what I want.
If not, then people want to beat you up in the locker room.
Should have had JT kicking.
No one wants to beat up a long snapper. Some people like beating up kickers. No, JT should have been a long snapper.
Long snapper.
You're on that one. Long snapper.
Yeah, you got the arm pressure,
whatever. There's not really like, well, just it's muscle memory.
Yeah, but it's I mean, no.
I'd like my kids.
I got respect for John Weeks.
Alec is like my son. Alec is moving up the chain and recruiting with that. He's in charge of like offensive line stuff now for recruiting stuff. He's moving up. He's like 145 pounds, 6'2", 145. He could have never been a long snapper.
No,
it's not too late for Mason. But he loves basketball, so and Snacks can't be a long snapper. So I don't have a kid that can long snap. I don't have a kid that's going to be a left-handed reliever, like the great jobs. I don't have a backup quarterback. I don't have, and my daughter, now she has talked about being a nun, working on Broadway, having her own bakery, being a cosmetologist. She's really gone through a lot of stuff that she can do, but none of that's really going to make me a lot of money,
which is
what I'm. You know,
No. You, and Madi can't snap, long snap
she
either.
She can't snap.
No. So
she's not going to kick.
You're kind of screwed. Yeah. So I am too, because I took the wrong direction with JT.
Yeah. You should have pushed him towards
long snapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to, son, you want to make some money? Go to long snap. Forget the quarterback thing.
Yeah.
So
a lot of competition at quarterback. Not many jobs at long snapping, I'll tell you that. It's very.
Yeah, no.
I wrote up one long snapper this year, and he ain't getting a sniff.
I'm not sure you're getting a 4-year full ride, though. So I got
as a long snapper.
I did get that as a quarterback.
You'd actually be surprised.
Yeah,
and you know what? All the Australians now, it's all about kicking and punt. It's all about punting. So they have entire punting academies. That's why it's pretty much just Australian. Like people wouldn't even realize. It's astonishing how many punters, because they just come over for, and you know why they learn to do it? College scholarship.
Yeah.
So they will play their little Australian rules football thing, and then they come over, get a scholarship, and your punters will be 24, 26 years old.
Half the Division I football is an Australian punter.
It's Australian punters now.
No. So we got that. We also got Dalton Schultz. He was on Pat McAfee. Holy crap. It started an entire it's a perfect ESPN radio and television. It's perfect for their fodder.
He kind of ragged on the Dallas Cowboys being different than what I took away from that is I never heard people say that about the Texans. Mm-hmm. Like the Texans sound like in less than one year, the Texans have gone from the biggest joke in football to this is a really well-oiled, he used the phrase well-oiled machine.
And not only that, when you look at, there's the lists out there of Christian Wilkins wants to come here, Josh Jacobs wants to come here, Saquon Barkley wants to come here.
C.J. Stroud.
Because of, but all of these players that want to come here. A year ago, we were saying, who would want to, the only Christian Kirksey was the only free agent you could sign because nobody wanted to come here. Now, all of a sudden, it's the place to be.
Well, but don't.
Do you believe that, or do you believe people know the Texans have money and they're being used as a negotiating ploy?
Last year, it would have been, even with the Texans having money, nobody would want to come here. But no one can't win. Dalton Schultz signed here, he said, because I'm C.J. Stroud, and I want to win.
Well, no one would buy it last year.
But
no,
that's
one
how
would
quick
believe
it changes, though. The idea that no one will come, I always think that's overblown. That no one's going to want to come here. That stuff goes away quick
if
you win.
No. Not that they wouldn't want to come here, but they'll choose places other than this. Yeah, if I've got a choice between going to the Eagles last year or the Texans, I was going to go to the Eagles.
But that's why you shouldn't focus too long on people don't want to come here, because look how quick it changes. Well, this is a perfect example of we probably shouldn't use that often.
Well, there was about a 3-year span.
Oh,
that
no,
people
the
didn't
organization,
want to come here.
But you
it wasn't. Look how fast it changed. It's been a long time.
But you got
before
rid
that
of
people wanted to come
you
here.
You got rid of the yucky people. I mean, Cal is harmless.
Yes.
Cal's harmless as long as the right people are in the building.
Hannah Patton leading the way, okay, as general of this ship now is pretty damn good, okay? But here is Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz was on Pat McAfee, and he made some references to the Cowboys and how they did things. And Pat McAfee asked him, well, how do they do things? And here's what Dalton Schultz had to say.
The focus is just football, you know what I mean? And going back and like telling some people like how kind of being around the Cowboys, like practice facility and, you know, game day, describing some of the interactions and stuff that you see on a day-to-day basis, like surprised a lot of people. They're like, holy crap, like that actually happens like at a practice facility. And like, you know, it's just, you think it's normal, and then you come to a place like this.
You don't have to out anything, but like, what are you?
No, dude, it's just like, there's people literally going on tours while you're lifting in the weight room, and they've got like a one-way mirror for people to like look at. Like, it's literally, it's a zoo, dude. There's people tapping on the glass, like trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And
there's a lot more. Oh, it stopped.
He did talk about it as like a zoo there. Well, you know, you're looking
zoo,
at the animals.
But then he said, and then you come here, and boy,
football. It's a well-oiled machine.
The strength coaches are awesome. The coaches are awesome. The front office is awesome. It was like, wow, you got it? Okay, here. Here's the rest.
You know, you don't realize like how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that. Like, this is, you know, also a really well-run organization in Houston. And I think that was one of the things that kind of scared me about like leaving Dallas the most, is like, I wasn't sure what another organization would kind of feel like. And dude, I got here and it was like, this place is a well-oiled machine. Like, it's, you know, coaching staff, the coaching changes, I can't speak to the previous stuff, but like, strength staff is phenomenal. The training staff is unbelievable. This has been the most like trainers that I've ever seen on a.
Wow. That's it. But that's an example of how positive he was about the Texans. And strength and conditioning and training is a really big deal with players. It's how you get healthy and stay healthy. It's how you work on your body. It's, you know, the strength coach obviously is a really big deal in college and pro football. So I think it's a testament to, I mean, to an extent, Nick Cassero, but Nick Cassero was already in the building for the previous coaches. Let's face it. This is a D'Amico Ryans thing. D'Amico Ryans knew what it's supposed to look like. He's about business, and he hired coaches and has a way of doing things that is professional. Nico's not a he doesn't bull crap around. It's not a joke here. And I think this is where, well, Cal is not a wartime, is not a wartime owner. If Cal gets some rats in the building like he had previously, that's terrible, because he's not really able to stand up to him. Hannah did help out and get rid of Jack Easterby, but when he's got the right people in place, Cal and Hannah aren't gonna mess up anything. They're staying out of it. They don't want to be meddling owners.
No.
So that's a really good thing. And Nico and D'Amico has literally implemented the way he thinks things should run. I've talked to people in the building before who said it's not like it's still very it's very businesslike. D'Amico will give you how you doing and all that stuff, but it's not like, you know, it's not a friendship factory in there. It's still business. You got a job to do and you got to do it. And that kind of speaks to, think about that, John. He was team captain for the Houston Texans early on as a linebacker. He was a guy who came from Alabama. Not when Nick Saban, people make the mistake because you feel like he's a Saban guy, but he wasn't. But he came in here and he had a way of going about things. He was businesslike. He was a team captain. He was positive. He's not a screamer and cusser. That's not who he is. But he worked with Kyle Shanahan, who's very regimented. He had Robert Saleh, who was over, you know, who was under Robert Saleh, who is a, you know, would get fired up as a players type of coach, and that's what D'Amico is. Like, you just can't say enough about how D'Amico Ryans has changed culture. The well-oiled machine thing, that comes from D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
I think the personnel stuff, Nick has really gotten a grip on really tightening up the personnel stuff, but in terms of how the building is and how it's run, that is a D'Amico Ryan's joint right there. That's what that is.
Absolutely. And it's done a 180 in one. Can you imagine talking about this? Talking about this stuff the way we were talking about them last year, about how we wanted Cal to sell. I mean, I don't know how many times
last year in March. What'd you say?
Call for Cal to sell this team. I mean, it was awful. It was the worst. He was one of the worst owners in all of sports.
This organization was one of the biggest
laughing stocks. And everybody, you know, last year, all the predictions, the Texans came in every poll, the Texans came defensive backs worst and 29th in the league, wide receiver room 31st in the league, quarterback, all of the, everything about the Houston Texans was considered the worst in the league, and now we're getting this. So yeah, you're right, 1 year, and you know what, you got to give her credit. Hannah really according to what we hear behind the scenes, Hannah really has turned a corner, helped turn a corner for this organization.
I'm gonna step in for a second, and I want to throw this at you, though. You know, remember the NFLPA player survey that we talked a lot about?
Yeah.
Texas had a good grade this year, right?
Yeah.
Let me read what their grade was last year to put this all in perspective, though, however. The Houston Texans, so let's see. Treatment of families. The Houston Texans. Let me get the highest. There we go. The Houston Texans, B+ treatment. They finished tied for fourth or fifth. Treatment of families, B+. This is not this year. It's the year before. Nutrition, B+. Texans. Weight room, A. Strength staff, Houston Texans, A. Training room, Houston Texans, B. Training staff, Houston Texans, A+. Locker room, this is the Lovey year. Locker room, Houston Texans, their locker room. It's a little older. It still gets a B+. Travel, Houston Texans, A+. That's like the organization, when he says well-oiled machine, maybe behind the scenes it has still been really good. Our perception is not, you know, maybe the day-to-day stuff has actually always been really good. Dalton Schultz just talked about training staff, and he talked about strength staff and all that stuff. And yet the year before, they're still getting B-pluses and A's and A-pluses.
Mm-hmm.
So the Texans have been run pretty well. We can say what we want about Cal or whatever and some of the stuff we see. But in terms of the infrastructure, it looked like – I think the infrastructure – this is after Lovie's year.
Right.
The infrastructure is really good.
Yeah, it was for players behind the scenes, how they always treated the players. That's always been the case, though, from when Bob took the team over.
It's never changed. But strength staff, training room, training staff.
As far as running an organization, though, it was crap. As far as building a football team, it was crap.
But to say it's a well-oiled machine, I think the things that he mentioned being really good, they were really good the year before.
Yeah.
Like the Texans have.
That's true.
They've always run it pretty well from the infrastructure, but it's the It's the things that determine if you can win football games,
which
be
is
sustainable.
Kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. All right. 7378037776. Rockets and Cougs both played last night and totally different results. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. I mean, he did a piece on Twitter yesterday, X, whatever. And he was talking about how he bought a $200,000 car and sold it at auction. And listen, if you've got a $200,000 car, there's only one place to sell it, and that's GiveMeTheVin.com. He is actually going to give you the value for that. He is actually – John Clay Wolf ain't afraid to pull the trigger on an expensive vehicle. As a matter of fact, he loves buying expensive cars. He ain't buying your $2,000 beater. He just ain't doing it, okay, because he's got to turn around. What he's doing is he's turning around and selling it. He sells it at auction. Okay. Now, he gives you more for your vehicle, all right, and takes less and makes less of a profit, but he does so much volume, all right? When you're talking about buying $200,000 cars, it adds up in a hurry that you get to 1 million, you get to 200, 300 million. I mean, you're talking about getting to $1 billion in sales and in buying and selling. Are you kidding me? That's the kind of volume that this guy does, and the reason that he does it is because he gives you more for your vehicle. You're going to sell your car. If you're selling a car, you have to go to one place. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is, y'all don't hear behind the scenes. It's really gotten, I mean, it's like a cancer in this, and it's all in that room over there. Okay.
You think you should flippantly throw that word around? Are you a good person?
Yeah, I'm a great teammate. You know what we need to do now is because it's gone to his head now. You know how in The Bear everybody calls each other chef? Now we have to call him host.
We have to.
Hey, host.
Yes,
hey, host. Can we get
host.
Some sound? Host?
We wow. host.
The yes, lies.
Host. Okay.
Do you have to lie about
when
everything?
When they come up and hug you from behind. Behind you, host. Behind you, host.
Behind, that's host.
Behind.
Yeah. What's the point of this?
The point is that it's already gone to your head.
How so?
These 3 hours are the least important part of your day.
Well, they've always been the least important part of my day. That had nothing to do with the schedule
now
change.
Now we know a focus. Now we know it's not just that you just want to get home and stream a show.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know it is you want to get done with this so you can bring up topics that you're not bringing to this show.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
Oh, no. We're gonna drain every topic now so that you have nothing to talk about.
Go ahead. Okay. Try me. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I put stuff on there that you don't get to. We'll so
just regurgitate our stuff. Why don't you just replay our show for that 2 hours?
I would, but someone would have to stay awake, and Sean and I can't stay awake, so it wouldn't happen.
You just replay our show, and that'll be your show.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I could put a super cut of all you clearing your throats and coughing in the mic and speaking when you're not supposed to. I could put that together for 2 hours and then go home.
Yeah. Okay. We don't do that. So. Oh, yeah. No. Hey, Sean, what about Oh, my God. What were you talking about? Some Marvel crap yesterday. Holy
Someone
crap.
Someone called in.
Okay. Why not?
Yeah, you
just,
and your plant calls.
Am I not supposed to respond to a caller?
Yes. You just go, listen, we're not talking about that. It's too boring for everybody.
Okay.
The Marvel world and how you want it to be realistic as opposed to funny.
But you see what? You see what happened? He remembers, though.
Yeah, so I remember it was memorable how bored enough. I was, how you know, it put me to sleep.
You know, apparently not, because you remember. You know
what
I can
put me to sleep.
I can do? I can go break down someone's OPS in spring training.
Yeah.
That's what I should do.
Yeah.
Jake Myers is hitting really well. Well, it was 9-9 at bats. Okay.
Look at that.
Stop it.
Look at that. Yeah, Jake.
Stop it.
Jake's the hero we need, and not you.
Well, what's his war, John? In spring training. What's his war plus?
All right, so the Rockets yesterday. Well, let's start with the Cougs because they're champions. All right. They have a piece of the at least a piece of their first Big 12 title. Awesome, awesome, awesome season. But did it get scary or what?
This has happened now for like three straight games.
Francis goes down with an ankle, and it's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You have no more big men. You got Roberts with his hand. You got Francis on the ground with his ankle. Thank God he came back because literally, you know, you got Lath that comes in here. He's a freshman, and he can only play. He played 4 minutes last night. When you got Francis, who's hobbling around, you still couldn't play. The bench gave you 0 points. Now, Malik Wilson has been pretty good this year. He's come in and hit some big baskets, but zero from your bench. And they only played a total of 29 minutes.
Yeah, we're already seeing now with an injury, now that you have an injury, I think they're going to go, Kelvin's bench is going to be so tight in a postseason.
Oh, it's going to be tighter than this.
It's going to be like 7.
LJ Cryer was fantastic last night. They knew he was shooting, and he found a way. He made a move across and at the free throw line, cut back, and went to the 3-point line, and Shedd hit him. And what I love is Shedd ain't afraid. Now Shedd's a first team All American, or should be a first team All American.
Yeah, probably be a second or third.
Probably second, but he should be a first team All America. And he ain't afraid. When he knows LJ's hot, he ain't afraid to get him a ball. And he got him the ball in the perfect spots last night. And LJ just filled it up. It was awesome. They're going to be so tired, though. Holy crap. They've got no bench left. You got to play Malik Wilson more. Damian Dunn only played 7 minutes, was 0 for 4, basically contributed next to nothing, and Lath as well. They're going to be – and France, when Francis went down and Roberts hurt his hand as well, it was like, oh, my gosh. This is – you're one injury away from basically not being – maybe not advancing to the Sweet 16 because you lose another guy.
Yeah. It's going to be a war for them because they don't score. They're not a good shooting team, and now they have – and now they've, you know, started to sustain injuries. Yeah, you're very limited. One of the things you have to rely on is out-rebounding teams. You have to rely on that. And having more possessions. You do that through rebounds and turnovers. Winning a turnover battle. You can't afford – you don't shoot well enough to afford not being able to win on the boards. And that's a big question mark for me now is how are they going to do from a board standpoint? As you mentioned, I'm looking at the minutes. And LJ Cryer averages 32 minutes a game in a 40-minute game. Now, Houston has had – they've had some games that have been a little closer than you'd like. You like some blowouts so that you can rest some of your starters.
Well, some of it is, first of all, he gets into foul trouble.
Yep.
And you know what he can't do anymore is get into foul trouble. He's had to sit a couple of games because he fouled out or had foul trouble, which he can't do anymore. Secondly, a lot of those games were early on where they were blowouts and you could sit him and not worry about it. These games are not going to be any of that. You're not going to be able to sit him anymore. You go from Kansas on Saturday to the Big 12 tournament to the NCAA tournament, and there ain't going to be. You're going to be very. Maybe you're going to blow one team out the early on in the tournament. Other than that, you need LJ Cryer on the floor.
Well, you got to have him, and you know this is a scary one too. But listen, it's positive. The Cougs are taking care of their business. They're rolling towards the tournament, towards the conference tournament. They need to win a couple of them. They win a couple of them, they're locked in. Maybe only need to win one, but they might need to win a couple of them to lock in, depending on what happens in the conference tournaments abroad. But one of the areas that really scares you a little bit is the free throw percentage, right? They shoot 68%. But think about this. LJ Cryer shoots 87% from the free throw line. Jamal Shedd shoots 77-8, which is good.
They're outside most of the time, though.
Right. Emmanuel Sharp, you know, another guard who shoots 84.8% from free throw line. That sounds good.
That's weird.
Once you're past that, though, I mean, Juwan Roberts, 53%.
Yeah.
You've got Damian Dunn, a guard, is shooting 66.7%. Francis, 53.3%. Arsenault.
Well, he's out, so.
Oh, well, yeah, he's out, but he was shooting 52. Malik Wilson, as you mentioned, 57.7. Tugler was shooting 46.
Well, yeah. He was
shooting 46,
guys,
John.
But those are the guys that are getting the free throws, too, because they're inside and they're getting hacked.
And
they're going to get hacked more and more because you're not going to – listen, here's the thing. And you talk about – we've been talking about a bad shooting team. You look at LJ against Baylor. It was a big game for him because he went back to Baylor. But he shot lights out. He shot lights out last night. He is their hope. Emmanuel Sharp was bad last night. He was just 1 for 7 from the field. He was bad last night. LJ is the hope of that guy that we keep on talking about how they're a bad shooting team. LJ has come on strong.
This is going to blow you away. Give me a guess at their field goal percentage. I'm going to name a player. LJ Cryer.
LJ Cryer is a 40 from the field. Is 42%.
41.3.
Yeah.
Jamal Shedd.
Jamal Shedd is in that same neighborhood.
42.1. Yeah. Very good. Emmanuel Sharp, guard.
Emmanuel Sharp.
I'm only going to do guards.
Yeah. Emmanuel Sharp is maybe a little higher, 43.
37.
Wow.
How about Damian Dunn?
Plays 17. Yeah, no, Damian Dunn is not good. 30 something.
35.
Yeah.
0.6. How about what was Terrence Arsenault? Well, it's 11 games, whatever. He was 38.6. How about Ramon Walker? There's your
He's out too, so.
Yeah, he was 33%. Malik Wilson?
Malik Wilson, you just said 35%.
No, he's 40%. That was Terrence Arsenault.
Oh.
Malik Wilson's 35%. All of your guards, the best shooting guard is 42%. You have a ton of guards. Some of them are
LJ is 39% from three.
Yeah, that just shows he's not.
Yeah. Inside, though, dude. When we talk about Fred VanVleet, when you're little, you got to adjust your shot to the big guys trying to stop it. So, inside, it's going to be it's a lot tougher for the smaller guys.
Your guards can't shoot at all.
No, LJ can shoot. He's got 39%.
I mean, yeah, he is 39%. He can shoot. The rest of them, I mean, you know, Shedd will take some bad shots, but he's 32% from college three. It's not great.
It's not great.
And Emmanuel Sharp can shoot a little bit. He's 35.6, but he's 37% from the field. That means his twos are rotten. He's under 40% from twos.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. Yeah, it's just the shooting, the free throw shooting. You can't keep losing players.
Well, it's a lot more crowded because that three-point line is so much closer. It's a lot more crowded inside in college basketball. So for the smaller guys to get up decent shots against bigger guys, it's harder.
Well, but my point of bringing up the shooting is that Cougs are going to – Kelvin Sampson is going to really tighten it up. I mean, the minute asks for Shedd and for Cryer are going to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be 35 – they're going to be 34 to 36 minutes.
They were 38 last night.
Yeah, it's going to be even higher than that. Yeah, that's probably what we're looking at because the guys coming in for him can't shoot. This is going to be pure rest. He'll probably be smart. This is why I wish they had quarters in men's basketball because you can sneak rest by a minute, you know, a minute 30 left in a quarter. You could bring out could bring out Shedd and buy him extra. You could call a timeout, buy him extra time, you know, to rest. And then he could play the whole second quarter. You're just not going to have it anymore.
No. Nope.
You're just not, I mean, you know, the 20-minute core, you can't really manipulate it as well, except for TV timeouts, potentially, I guess.
All right. We got to talk Rockets basketball on the other side. But good win, and the Cougs have a share.
Good win for the Cougs.
If they beat Kansas, they have, or Iowa State loses, whatever, they have the Big 12 title all to themselves. So congratulations to the Cougs for at least a share of the Big 12 title this year. And, you know, right now, they are a solid number one seed in the South, which is huge. You got to talk right now, my friend, about Underdog.
Underdog Fantasy yesterday, I was looking at some of the underdog stuff, and they had one of them that was great was, I mean, they have so many multipliers on there. It is really, frankly, it's easy to get to 40 times or 45 times or even 100 times your original play because of the multipliers they have on certain things. If a player hits a double-double, if a player hits a three, KJ Martin, I saw yesterday, he was 0.5. He was 0.5 three-pointers, and it was a 2.1 multiplier if he made a three. And so all you got to do is go higher than 0.5. He makes a three, which he did in the first quarter. You're in. And this is an example of what I'm talking about. When you play the Pick'em Challenge, you get to pick your players. You get to pick through a ton of different stats and just go higher or lower. But some of these have multipliers on them. And so what it does, it spices up your payout. You can get up to 100 times your original play depending on what you're willing to play. And this is a great opportunity for you to jump in there. And you don't have to have a big initial deposit. It can be as low as $10. But you go from $10 up to $100, you're going to get it completely matched. They'll match up to $100. Put as much as you want in there, and they will match up to $100. But you have to put Lance as your promo code. Once you put Lance as your promo code, the special picks are going to be available. Yesterday it was higher than 0.5 points for Steph Curry. Obviously an easy winner. They want to give you an easy winner. Take advantage of it. It's my good friends over at Underdog Fantasy. Play along with the basketball action right there with Underdog Fantasy's Pick'em Challenge. Use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You can also call Del Cuz, because remember the Cuz, the yeah. really cranky, the cousin, the...
Oh, yeah.
Cousin, the he cranky. Was, you he call
Cuz. Yeah, he's Cuz, but he's host. I like host.
Well, when you're yeah, you, in the work in the workplace.
Well, because it's put a little respect on his name. He's a host now.
Yeah.
He don't shine shoes no more.
Yeah. Well, kind of still do.
Well, yeah, because
this job
you
got to
do, you got to shine shoes,
Del,
and
these
then
are two guys who have been nominated at one point for Texas
no,
Radio
we really
Hall of
weren't.
Fame.
No, we never.
We were nominated. We were
so
nominated.
So were you
year.
Or weren't you?
We were nominated this year. We came up short.
Where was?
We're like Lance Berkman. We slid off. The
where was the announcement?
I think Todd told me or something.
Maybe
it was last year.
So nothing like I can find and research and see if it's actually true.
Well. I mean, you could find it probably, but I don't know how many votes we probably just missed it by one.
You think that happened? I don't think you're very well liked. And I mean you specifically, like overall.
Oh, this is a personal.
Yeah, like personal thing, not the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think you're very well liked.
I don't like people either. I don't dislike you. I just don't. I'm kind of like you. I don't care about most people on radio, to be honest with you. I find most of them to be kind of. I found the people who run radio, a lot of them have been kind of pretty, I don't know, not people I'd want to hang out with. Let's just put it that way.
Name your top five.
I feel a lot of hosts. Yeah.
Name your top five least favorite people in radio.
Well, Todd McShay.
He's not in radio.
Well, he's podcast. Brian Russillo.
It starts to the right, just right here. Okay.
Oh, right to
right
you?
Of you?
Right of me.
Okay.
Look, there it is.
That's fine. I mean, feeling.
That's where it starts.
The feeling is definitely mutual.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, I've looked at you as a means to an end like 10 years ago.
There's people.
And now look, you got there now.
And frankly.
Now you got there.
Most people in Houston radio, they just, I find them to be, like, it's not that I dislike them. I just.
Don't care.
There's
about
a
them.
Lot of guys who I just, ugh.
My biggest problem with John is he's using lit to extend his life, like because he shuts down drinking and it kind of helps him a little bit. I was hoping you'd ratchet it up during lit to shorten the lifespan.
Well,
honestly.
when he falls off the wagon. Nice.
He does respond back in a big way.
Yeah, but Lent has definitely saved my kidney,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Here it
which is.
Which is
unfortunate for 2022,
you. 2022, no, we were nominated
for everyone.
We were nominated for the 2022 Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
Were we?
I was a year ago.
Where's that?
Ken Hoffman wrote about it.
Did he?
He did?
Yeah.
He's still doing stuff.
I wish he'd stop writing about that.
Here it is. Look, Rula among the inductees.
Rula and Ryan?
Oh, wait. Rula Christie got into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
And you
guys people who are in, but John's not. Rula from Rula and Ryan.
You're not in either.
Yeah, but I'm kind of in. Bob Ford. Somebody, Outlaw Radio. Uncle Funky. Oh, Larry Jones from Magic 102. Uncle Funky, Larry Jones is good. Lori Kendrick, yeah, I mean, she was, like, good traffic, I think.
So, are we going to go through the whole
Joe Pogge is in, and you're not.
Radio Hall of Fame. Joe Pogge has a golf zoo or something on Saturday mornings. Yeah, Joe Pogge's a good
Can
guy.
Can of Storms in, you're
like
not.
Joe
Maria Pogge. Todd, who was with Sam Malone for, like, 11 years.
Maria Todd's a nice person.
She's I just
nowhere now. Where
Joe
is she?
Pogge's a nice person. Hannah Storm's a nice person.
You Dana guys Tyson? Aren't.
Huh?
I love Dana Tyson.
I like Dana Tyson, too.
I do, too. And then me and you.
Very
a lot
nice
of good
person.
People.
I just like to point out that next time you slander my show, you're spending multiple minutes on this. So I remember next time, that's so boring.
Yeah, let's look at
look what you're a part of.
Fame.
Look at what you're a part of.
Who's the Mount Rushmore of Texas radio?
We
let's
are.
Do that.
Barry the Mount Warner. Rushmore of Texas
Barry
radio.
Warner is there.
Barry Warner.
Well, that's
me.
The Chinese Mount Rushmore.
No, he's actually been diverse. He's done an American show, a Chinese show.
Right.
Have you ever done a Chinese show? No. You have.
Yes. Not? He's done Asian segments.
Yes, you've
segments.
Done Asian stereotypes.
No, I did segments. You know, promoting the Asian culture.
Okay. In yes, fact, you're an extremely diverse host.
Women in golf. Asian women in golf. He's promoted.
Yes. Yes. Oh. Is so much so that they asked me at the Chevron to be a starter. And announce the players as they come out and are about to tee off for their rounds. Have you done that? No.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to do most things.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to drive all the way up to the Woodlands.
No.
Which you're going to have to anyway. On that Wednesday, we're going to be at the Chevron. Yeah. We're going to be there.
Man.
Yes.
Well, when is
zoom.
That?
I could Zoom.
What day is that?
It's a Wednesday. We're going to do the Wednesday.
I'll just Zoom.
Can't you just handle that, John?
I mean, you're the golf guy.
You're the golf guy.
No.
What's the whole show have
the
to be out there for?
The whole show.
Why?
Because we love it.
Yeah,
because you guys
do.
Can't be more excited about it. That's
yes,
why
I am
host.
Excited about it, but you're the one that interviews golf people.
That's why host.
For the most part, it'll just me and Lance sitting there while you revel in all the golf.
Yeah.
Do we have to be there for that?
We really don't. I've already planned in car trouble.
You're planning car trouble.
It's not because I don't want to go there. It's just a little bit of a drive.
A lot of drive.
And I'm not probably.
It's a lot of drive.
I'm just telling you, I'm getting a hotel up
I'm
there.
Putting in for a hotel, Todd.
I'm putting in a hotel. Yeah. I'm not playing this. I'm not doing this.
Put in.
I'm not driving an hour there.
Shoot.
An hour?
Then
what about
I went
me?
Back,
yours is longer.
I went back on. We did the Thursday or Friday. And I went back on Saturday and did the announcing there, too. That's how exciting it is.
So?
Okay. The Chevron. That's the first major of the year. Thank
okay,
you. Good
people
night.
Listening to a sports talk show are probably not a fan of this segment, but I will say I was a fan of the Rockets for three and a half quarters. And then I was still a fan when they lost their 20-point lead completely on a three-pointer by, I think it was Norman Schwarzkopf made a three.
It's Powell.
Powell. And he made a three, and they took a two-point lead on that one as their first lead since 7-5.
They just disintegrated.
They did.
Holy crap. You talk about falling apart.
And Alpi had a crazy stat game.
Like another
Again.
One.
Again.
Yeah.
He has like the best two games in a row ever.
He almost had a 20-20 game, and he, you know, his assist, I think his assist total ended at 14, a triple-double. He was, like, Alperin had a great game, but when you needed him to score, like, the ball was in Jalen's hands too much at the end of that game. Too much. It's not like he was bad, but it was just in his hands. They couldn't go find a good shot. They gave up second shots, like offensive rebounds that were a killer for him. And then they couldn't stop. They just couldn't stop Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi Leonard just got hot there in the quarter for a little bit, and it was
well.
It
he just
a problem.
Man, oh man, he is so good. And then Paul George standing on the wing, and he knocks it down. Boy, when they have to have shots, but give it to Kawhi or give it to, and they're going to knock down the shots. James threw up one, and he got fouled earlier with the 3-point. I mean, just Kawhi is so good. Goodness gracious, Şengün. 23 points, 19 rebounds, 14 assists, 2 steals. The first center in NBA history to reach those numbers in a game. The first center in NBA history to reach those numbers in a game. 23, 19, and 14.
He missed two big free throws when they were up. When they were down three, he got to the line. He missed a couple free throws that would have got them, obviously, within one. Yeah, so that was rough. Yeah. Not a great night from him from the line overall. He was only 3 of 8. But, yeah, the Clippers, I know they're down 20 and had a big second half, but the Rockets could not get away from them in the third quarter where it seemed like the Clippers were teetering. In fact, the Clippers won that quarter by 7. And then you kind of – it almost felt inevitable because the shots were about to fall. And the Clippers felt like their offense was stuck in mud. In fact, they only scored, 44 points in the first half. They wound up shooting over 50 – they shot 55% from the field. And it felt like for 2.5 quarters, that offense stunk.
They shot – I think second half, 58%.
Yeah, and then they shot over 40% from three, so the shots just started falling in the third and fourth quarter.
All the threes were falling in, man. Yeah. It was the fourth quarter killed you, and you just couldn't find a way to stem the flow. The big one was Alpe got fouled, and then you saw, what's his name, Van Vliet tried to go to the free throw line and pretend it was him. They're shooting free throws, and James was like, hey, this wasn't him. And the officials were kind of getting duped. They switched it to Alpe. They were down three. He misses both free throws. Yeah. I mean, you make two free throws, it's one. It's maybe a different game, but they never came back after that. It was done.
They would have lost anyway. They're not ready to beat the Clippers in a big – and well, listen, I give them credit, though. This is a team that starts slow all the time. Boy, they started hot, and especially on a back-to-back. They had a tough game, physical game against the Spurs the night before, and they came out and they really put it to them.
I didn't think they
would. They might have worn out a little bit on this back-to-back.
They might have. I didn't think they would. I thought this was going to be a tough game for them, and it was actually it was actually the opposite. They were in 50-30 at one point in the second quarter. And I was like, wow, this is really impressive to come back out of that game and have this kind of game. They maybe did run out of gas. I tell you what, though, it's so fun watching Amen Thompson. He brings so much energy to this team. It's kind of undefined how right now he's just a guy who makes good, solid plays for you in different ways, picking up jump balls, getting on loose balls, his blocking defense. Shots. It's just it's kind of unfocused a little bit, but he's just an athletic ball player right now, and he'll just make plays here and there. But it's not going to be offensive. It's not really what the offense is about. If you missed it, when we come back, we also have to reset the Dalton Schultz thing.
Yeah, but I want to. Shaq talked about Şengün yesterday, and this is some high praise. And let's do that because Şengün deserves some love after the last couple of nights. We'll do that on the other side. But right now, what was that line during the game when the Rockets were up 20? So if you were on my bookie. And you had live betting, and you decided, well, let me take the Clippers here now because they're going to turn this thing around. Well, then you would be very, very intelligent because that's what happened. They turned it around and you could have turned it around. Even if you bet the Clippers before the game, if you bet them before the game, you really love them when they're down 20 because they're going to come back in that basketball game. And that's exactly what they did. You can do live gambling during the game. That's happening all the time. You can do casino gambling, which is happening all the time. And you can have live dealers dealing it to you. This is happening. You can get bonuses for signing up. So you make your initial deposit, and they'll bonus you if you put in promo code BET975. And then if you're reloading, okay, oh, dang it, I lost. I need to put more money in. Put in promo code BET975, and you're going to get bonus there as well. It's a bonus when you put in promo code BET975. It's a bonus when you win and get paid. And it's not a huge hassle getting your money out of it. They have every kind of bet that you could possibly want. It's still a great time. There's all kinds of stuff to bet on at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Alperen Şengün, after 45 against Wemby, he put up a stat sheet that nobody else, 23, 19, and 14. Holy crap, was he good. It fell apart at the end. He missed a couple of free throws, but he is playing some fantastic basketball. He's earning himself a lot of money in the future because he is going to be the face of this franchise, and he is going to be a key to the turning this thing around to a championship organization. Here's Shaq, and see if you agree with some of Shaq's comparisons about LP.
So there's a large community online that loves Şengün. And I feel like your love is starting to blossom live. You don't get too hyped about young players, but you're seeing potential out of this kid.
Because of playing against greats like Tim Duncan, you appreciate guys that are fundamentally sound. I was talent and brute strength. Tim Duncan, a little bit of strength, but excellently fundamentally sound. This kid is fundamentally sound, has a little flair with him. Love the way he plays. I respect his game. He plays.
He shoots
hard
on 1 foot sometimes.
He shot a side of the jumper. I thought that's how a jumper, but then he shot that three like he knew what he was doing. And I said the name earlier, Baby Powell. It reminds me of a young Powell Gasol, because Powell Gasol had great fundamentals also. Mm. I like this kid.
A lot of talent much on respect. The young Rockets team. Just got to put it together. Ime Udoka starting to get it. And it's the first time I think we've shown highlights and the conversation at center was not Victor Wembanyama.
You know who I'd like to see on blocks. That team? Markkanen. Markkanen with the Rockets.
So like a Fred VanVleet, Lauri Markkanen, Şengün, Jabari Smith.
Hmm. That would be interesting.
I'd like it too.
Yeah, right.
How do we make that happen?
That's what they need, that shooter, right? Don't they need a guy that's going to be able to fill it up like that. And it's something that this organization has really, really missed is a guy. That would be totally, totally sweet to have a Lauri Markkanen on this club. And you know what? Why have they never, ever done that? I mean, they love the three-pointer, right? You got a guy that shoots 40%. I mean, that's exactly what
stretch
you need.
It out.
Yeah.
Be great.
Yeah.
Would be a good fit. Talking about the big fundamental, Tim Duncan, he's the one who gave him the nickname. And, of course, he referenced there the fundamentals of Tim Duncan.
Do you agree with the Pau Gasol?
I do, actually.
Actually, I think that's a really good one. I think that's better than...
I don't know that it's better than Djokovic, actually.
Yeah, it is. Djokovic is so dominant because of his size.
But his game is actually more like Djokovic.
Djokovic is a tennis player.
Joker. The way, thank you. I don't think he plays like Djokovic at all from a basketball standpoint.
No, well,
but
right.
Jokic, I do. The way that he gets to certain shots, he's got the skill level with the footwork of Pau Gasol. See, that's not like Jokic doesn't have that footwork with the spin moves and all that. He doesn't really have that. That's Pau Gasol. But his ability as a passer, his ability to get baskets from odd angles, and kind of without even being an explosive leaper, I think that's a lot like Jokic. I think he does blend, notice it's two international centers, and he was taught by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Three international bigs.
I think Jokic is a little bit more overpowering than him. I think Gasol is a good comp for, and you know what? I'll take it. You have Pau Gasol's career.
Pau is a little better athlete in terms of the fluidity and movement.
I don't know. Basket, he's pretty damn fluid.
No. He's his footwork is great. He's fundamental in his footwork, but he's not an explosive leaper. He's not I don't know that he's a fast guy with foot quickness. In that way, he reminds you of Djokovic. I think Mark Gasol is more like, you know, he's unique. He's unique. He does take elements. I mean, I think he's even professed he's taken elements from Jokic. That's how he sees himself as a passer, some of the stuff like that. But Pau Gasol fits also because he also starts, you know, he can start at the high. Jokic doesn't start at the top of the key, or he doesn't start at the three-point line and take you in. I think Pau Gasol could have done that. That really wasn't what their offense called for. He was a lot of times at free throw line, elbow extended. But he could do that. He had that ability to face you up. Alpi faces people up. And that's something Jokic doesn't really do. He's not a face-up guy. He's a dribble-you-down, back-you-down, driveway player.
Oh, I don't know. He does that set shot facing you all the time.
No,
that
but
little,
he doesn't.
That little push
that's
shot.
That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. Who, you're Jokic? Alpi. I'm talking about Jokic.
Oh, yeah.
Alpi does. I was saying Alpi does face
you. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jokic doesn't really face you up. Like, because Alpe can take you, he can do his little set shot, he can shoot three, but he can take you off the dribble, typically left, so he can set up his spin the other way, and he has a counter to the spin. That's not Jokic doesn't have that skill level.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Gasol does, but when it comes to the way he gets his baskets around, how clever he is and all that, and the way he passes, and the way he can impact three different stat columns, that's more Jokic than it is Gasol. Like, he is a great passer. Yesterday was on display. If you missed it, Jokic had, Alperen had a triple-double, and he had it fairly early. Almost got to a 20-20, and his assist total hit at 14. His last one, he just kind of picked the ball up and threw to Fred VanVleet, who hit from the three-point, who hit from the corner. I think it was VanVleet. And got the Rockets closer. But the Rockets blew a 20-point lead yesterday. Had a 50-30 lead in the second quarter. Just too much shooting. Just the Clippers started making shots, started making threes. And then in the fourth quarter, you had Kawhi Leonard kind of take over. And tough loss yesterday. Would have been nice to get that one.
We have conversations about how the NBA has changed. The Rockets blowing a 20-point lead along with – there was another team who did it last night, too. We're now up to – 29 games this year where a team had a 20-point lead and lost.
It's insane.
It last year set the record at 30. We're already at 29 right now. So it almost happened again. Like it almost happened again last night with another game. So it'll be a record set this year.
There was a fight in my house about this, about a topic I want to bring up about the NBA in the past, and you can go back to the 90s. You can even go back to early 2000s. Of course, you could go all the way to 80s if you want, but I want to talk for a second about NBA now versus NBA then and how you view the NBA now. There's a question about the offense and the defense that I want to talk about. We'll do that when we come back.
Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, I'm talking right now about Republic Boot Company. I can't be more excited. If the rodeo is here and you got to go, you got to get yourself outfitted, you're not ready for it, you got an invite or you got a date to the rodeo, and you want to rodeo it up a little bit, it's the only time that you really can. I mean, there are some guys that can wear a cowboy hat in the winter or outside of rodeo time, but we can all now cowboy it up, and the place to cowboy it up is at Republic Boot Company. It is the first thing that you're going to notice is the smell. When you walk in, it is the best. It is awesome. Now, you want to customize some boots. That takes a little while, but you can customize it any way you like. And when you see the customized boots there, you're like, holy cow. The artsmanship, the craftsmanship that goes into this is amazing. The best bootmakers in the country, one of the best of all time, is just sitting there and you can watch him working. He is a legend in the boot business and he works for Republic Boot Company. But you can buy it off the shelf as well and it right there, and they'll fit it to your foot because it's all leather, so they can make it fit to you perfectly. It'll be like you're getting a customized boot, but you're buying it off the rack. Anything that you need, leather, anything that you need, I went in there and got a suit jacket because it was just, I couldn't stop looking. I was like, I got to buy this. It is awesome. You'll find that too. There's something that you're going to find at Republic Boot Company. It's on 11th Street, 1133 East 11th and the Heights, just off 11th and Studemont, republicbootcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.